Hemallergy is a power about which I wish I knew far less. To ruin, power must have an inordinately high cost. Using it must be attractive, yet must sow chaos and destruction in its very implementation. In concept, it is a very simple art, a parasitic one. Without other people to steal from, hemallergy would be useless. 35.
"You'll be all right here?" Spook asked. Breeze turned away from the brightened tavern, raising an eyebrow. Spook had brought him, along with several of Goradel's soldiers in street clothing, to one of the larger, more reputable locations. Voices rang within.
"Yes, this should be fine," Breeze said, eyeing the tavern. "Ska out at night. Never thought I'd see that. Perhaps the world really is ending."
"I'm going to go to one of the poorer sections of town," Spook said quietly. "There are some things I want to check on."
"Poorer sections," Breeze said musingly. "Perhaps I should accompany you. I've found that the poorer people are, the more likely they are to let their tongues wag."
Spook raised an eyebrow. "No offense, Breeze, but I kind of think you'd stand out."
"What?" Breeze asked, nodding toward his utilitarian brown worker's outfit, quite a change from his usual suit and vest. "I'm wearing these dreadful clothes, aren't I?"
"Clothing isn't everything, Breeze. You've kind of got a bearing about you. Plus, you don't have much ash on you."
"I was infiltrating the lower ranks before you were born, child," Breeze said, wagging a finger at him.
"All right," Spook said. He reached to the ground, scooping up a pile of ash. "Let's just rub this into your clothing and on your face."
Breeze froze. "I'll meet you back at the lair," he finally said.
Spook smiled, dropping the ash, as he disappeared into the mists.
"I never did like him," Kelsier whispered.
Spook left the richer section of town, moving at a brisk pace. When he hit the street slot, he didn't stop, but simply leaped off the side of the road and plummeted 20 feet. His cloak flapped behind him as he fell. He landed easily and continued his quick pace. Without pewter, he would certainly have broken some limbs. Now he moved with the same dexterity he'd once envied in Vin and Kelsier. He felt exhilarated. With pewter flaring inside of him, he never felt tired, never even felt fatigued. Even simple acts, like walking down the street, made him feel full of grace and power. He moved quickly to the Harrows, leaving behind the streets of better men, entering the cluttered, overpacked alley-like street slot, knowing exactly where he'd find his quarry. Dern was one of the leading figures in the Urto underworld. Part informant, part beggar-lord, the unfulfilled musician had become a sort of a mayor of the Harrows. Men like that had to be where people could find and pay them. Spook still remembered that first night after waking from his fevers a few weeks back, the night when he'd visited a tavern and heard men talking about him. Over the next few days, he'd visited several other taverns and heard others mention rumors that spoke of Spook. Sazed and Breeze's arrival had kept Spook from confronting Dern, the apparent source of the rumors, about what he'd been telling people. It was time to correct that oversight. Spook picked up his pace, leaping heaps of discarded boards, dashing around piles of ash until he reached the hole that Dern called home. It was a section of canal wall that had been hollowed out to form a kind of cave. Though the wooden framing around the door looked as rotted and splintered as everything else in the Harrows, Spook knew it to be reinforced on the back with a thick oaken bar. Two brutes sat watch outside. They eyed Spook as he stepped in front of the door, cloak whipping around him. It was the same one he'd been wearing when he'd been tossed into the fire, and it was still spotted with burn marks and holes.
"The boss isn't seeing anyone right now, kid," said one of the big men, not rising from his seat. "Come back later."
Spook kicked the door. It broke free, its hinges snapping, the bar shattering its mountings and tumbling backward. Spook stood for a moment, shocked.
He had too little experience with pewter to gauge its use accurately. If he was shocked, however, the two brutes were stunned. They sat staring at the broken door.
"You may need to kill them," Kelsier whispered.
"No," Spook thought. "I just have to move quickly." He dashed into the open hallway, needing no torch or lantern by which to see. He whipped spectacles and a cloth out of his pocket as he approached the door at the end of the hallway, fixing them in place even as the guards called out behind him. He threw his shoulder against the door with a bit more care, slamming it open but not breaking it. He moved into a well-lit room where four men sat playing chips at a table. Dern was winning. Spook pointed at the men as he skidded to a stop.
"You three, out. Dern and I have business."
Dern sat at the table, looking genuinely surprised. The brutes rushed up behind Spook, and he turned, falling to a crouch, reaching under his cloak for his dueling cane.
"It's all right," Dern said, standing. "Leave us."
The guards hesitated, obviously angry at being passed so easily. Finally, however, they withdrew, Dern's gambling partners going with them. The door closed.
"That was quite the entrance," Dern noted, sitting back down at his table. "You've been talking about me, Dern," Spook said, turning. "I've heard people discussing me in taverns, mentioning your name. You've been spreading rumors about my death, telling people that I was on the Survivor's crew. How did you know who I was, and why have you been using my name?"
"Oh, come now," Dern said, scowling. "How anonymous did you think you were? You're the Survivor's friend, and you spend a good half your time living in the Emperor's own palace."
"Luthadel's a long way from here."
"Not so far that news doesn't travel," Dern said. "A Tin-Eye comes to town spying about, flaunting seemingly endless funds. It wasn't really that hard to figure out who you were. Besides, there's your eyes."
"What about them?" Spook asked.
The ugly man shrugged.
"Everyone knows that strange things happen around the Survivor's crew."
Spook wasn't certain what to make of that. He walked forward, looking over the cards on the table. He picked one up, feeling its paper. His heightened senses let him feel the bumps on the back.
"Marked cards?" he asked.
"Of course," Dern said. "Practice game, to see if my men could read the patterns right."
Spook tossed the card onto the table.
"You still haven't told me why you've been spreading rumors about me."
"No offense, kid," Dern said. "But, well, you're supposed to be dead."
"If you believed that, then why bother talking about me?"
"Why do you think," Dern said, "the people love the Survivor and anything related to him. That's why Quellian uses his name so often. But if I could show that Quellian killed one of Kelsier's own crew, well, there are a lot of people in this city who wouldn't like that."
"So you're just trying to help," Spook said flatly, "out of the goodness of your heart."
"You're not the only one who thinks that Quellian is killing this city. If you're really of the Survivor's crew, you'll know that sometimes people fight."
"I find it difficult to think of you as an altruist, Dern. You're a thief."
"So are you."
"We didn't know what we were getting into," Spook said. "Kelsier promised us riches. How do you gain from all this?"
Dern snorted.
"A citizen is very bad for business. Venture red wine being sold for a fraction of a clip? Our smuggling has been choked to a trickle because everyone fears buying our goods. Things were never this bad under the Lord Ruler."
He leaned in.
"If your friends staying in the old ministry building think they can do something about that lunatic running this city, then tell them they'll have my support. There isn't a large underground left in this city, but Quellian will be surprised at the damage it can do if manipulated the right way."
Spook stood quietly for a moment.
"There's a man milking for information in the tavern on Westbrook Lane. Send someone to contact him. He's a soother, the best one you'll ever meet.
but he stands out a bit. Make your offer to him.
Dern nodded.
Spook turned to go, then glanced back at Dern.
Don't mention my name to him, or what happened to me.
With that, he left through the hallway, passing the guards and the displaced crooks from the card game. Spook pulled off his blindfold as he stepped into the daylight-like brightness of the starlit night. He strolled through the harrows, trying to decide what he thought of the meeting. Dern hadn't revealed anything all that important. Yet Spook felt as if something were happening around him, something he hadn't planned on, something he couldn't quite decipher. He was becoming more comfortable with Kelsier's voice and with his pewter, but he was still worried that he wouldn't be able to live up to the position he'd fallen into.
"If you don't get to Quellion soon," Kelsier said, "he's going to find your friends. He's already preparing assassins."
"He won't send them," Spook said quietly, "especially if he's heard Dern's rumors about me. Everyone knows that Sazed and Breeze were on your crew. Quellion won't take them out unless they prove to be such a threat that he has no other choice."
"Quellion is an unstable man," Kelsier said. "Don't wait too long. You don't want to find out how irrational he can be."
Spook fell silent. Then he heard footsteps, approaching quickly. He felt the vibrations in the ground. He spun and loosened his cloak, reaching for his weapon.
"You're not in danger," Kelsier said quietly.
Spook relaxed as someone rushed around the alley corner. It was one of the men from Dern's chips game. The man was puffing, his face flushed with exhaustion.
"My lord," he said.
"I'm no lord," Spook said.
"What happened? Is Dern in danger?"
"No, sir," the man said.
I...
Spook raised an eyebrow.
"I need your help," the man said between breaths. "When we realized who you were already gone. I just..."
"Help with what?" Spook said tersely.
"My sister, sir," the man said. "She got taken by the citizen. Our father was a nobleman. Dern hid me, but Maylee, she got sold by the woman I'd left her with. Sir, she's only 7. He's going to burn her in a few days."
Spook frowned.
"What does he expect me to do?"
He opened his mouth to ask that very question, but then stopped. He wasn't the same man anymore. He wasn't limited as the old Spook would have been. He could do something. What Kelsier had done.
"Can you gather 10 men?" Spook asked. "Friends of yours, willing to take part in some late-night work?"
"Sure, I guess. Does this have to do with saving Maylee?"
"No,"
Spook said.
"It has to do with your payment for saving Maylee. Get me those workers, and I'll do what I can to help your sister."
The man nodded eagerly.
"Do it now," Spook said, pointing. "We start tonight."